See, I have an affirmation. I'll share it with you.
Yes, please.
I'm 2 years away from turning 60. I've always valued health, fitness, and all that. And life, your body changes when you're hit, you know, when you're getting over that 55 age group. So my affirmation is 60 looks sexy on Rosa.
Yes.
And I just say it to my, now, it, you know, it's my own little way of getting me excited about, hey, that would be fun. What does that look like? Now,
you're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to Rochester Business Connections on the Real Business Connections Network. I am here with Coach Rosa, Coach Rosa Montanaro. How are you? Montanaro, rather, right?
I'm great. Thank you, Ben. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to be. Do you go by Coach? Do you go by Rosa? What should we call you today?
A lot of people call me Coach Rosa. That's been sticking over the last few years. So I answer to Coach Rosa or Rosa.
Well, Coach Rosa, you are a best-selling author of Mind Over Platter, Train Your Brain to Think Thin, How to Use the Power of Your Mind to Manifest a Healthy Mind. A healthy, happy mind, body, and soul. You've got Coffee with Coach Rosa. And ultimately, we've got so much to talk about. Mindset, pivoting, career change, the whole shabam. But let's let the audience get to know you a little bit better. So you can start from the womb or however far back you want to go. Give us a little bit of history of, you know, your career journey, your life journey, and what brought you to where you are today, Coach.
Okay. Ooh, all right. Let's see. So we'll start with, I've always been an entrepreneur. So I've always had that entrepreneurial spirit. And I started off with a very intense childhood. So and I write about it in my book. So there was a lot of highly dysfunctional, you know, really traumatic upbringing. And from that, I realized very early that that the mind has a big impact on what shows up in our lives. And so I used to read positive books on positive thinking when I was a teenager, because I was in a body cast as a teenager, so I had not a lot of flexibility and couldn't do a lot. Yeah, I had scoliosis and I had major surgery when I was 14, and I was in a body cast for a year, the good part of a year. And I started reading these books about positive thinking, and I realized that what my surroundings were telling me was going to be my reality was not the same as what the books were telling me. They were saying, if you change the way you see things, if you change the way you what you believe, if you change your mindset, you could change your life. And I wanted to believe it so bad because it sounded so much better than the alternative that I gave it a shot and started seeing major improvements, even though I couldn't control, you know, the dynamics with other individuals. I found that when I applied these concepts, I was happier and I had hope and I made some nice changes even as a teenager. So being entrepreneurial, basically I did a lot of cool things on my own. I was married, you know, at 21, and I wanted to be with my children. So I started a daycare and I did that in a residential setting. And I had it licensed by the state, and it was a really great experience. I did that for 10 years. During the time, I also found a passion for personal development. And to be honest with you, it was mainly because I found traditional counseling and mythologies to help me heal some of that pain were not as effective as, you know, neurolinguistics programming, hypnosis, tapping, all the cool things that I was exposed to, and I've always been open-minded. So that became my passion, and I decided to turn my hobby into my profession. And when I was done with daycare, I became a coach, and I'm certified as a success coach. I'm certified in neurolinguistics programming, clinical hypnotherapy, emotional freedom techniques, you name it, a bunch of really cool things. Did that for a long time, training and private practice. That's how I developed Mind Over Platter, the weight management program. I applied everything I learned, coupled it on what I needed, which food was like my way of fulfilling the gaps in my life. So food was love for me. It was my little vice.
Yeah.
And I wanted to lose some weight. So I lost 30 pounds, kept it off, wrote the book, Mind Over Platter. ta-da. Did a website on it, a virtual program. And won some awards. None of it made me rich. And then was exposed to career management and was invited to partake in a career management coaching program. And I did, and I fell in love with it. And that became an extended career path for me, where I started a job in that field. And that's still what I do as far as a day profession. So I've bridged a lot of my worlds. I love the mindset, the healthy mindset, and not so much what to eat to be healthy, but how to get in the right frame of mind when you're transitioning into a career, a business, a new body, a relationship. Because if we don't change what's going on up here, nothing outside changes. So that's kind of me in a nutshell over the last, 50-something years.
I love this, and I'm excited for this conversation and fascinated by your story, because, this is a business-oriented podcast, but I firmly believe if your mind's not right, if you're not one and comfortable in yourself, you're not going to be able to show up for the business people you're here to serve, for your clients, for your customers, for your partners, for your employees. So let's talk about this, and let's start with the what not to do or the struggles. And you can use a client example or use one from your own life. What does it look like when your mindset's out of whack, and anything from binge eating to not sleeping well, to just acting and not really thinking through the actions? Were there times in your life, or maybe a client, that things are just out of whack? And then afterwards, I kind of want to see what the benefit and the solution to those kind of failures was.
That's good. Those are good, Dad. Okay, so I always say, if you have your head in the right place, you can do a lot of things wrong and still be just fine. But if you have your head is not in the right place, you could do a lot of things correctly and still not see results. So I think when you're in I'll bring an example up. Actually, I write about this person in my book. So I remember working with a woman years ago who wanted to lose weight, primarily because she wanted to be in a relationship. That was really what was important to her, is to be in this relationship. And she kind of believed in her mind that in order to have a loving mate, I have to be a certain size, right? And when that's a limiting belief. That's not a healthy belief for you. That causes us to maybe judge people prematurely without even having the facts of what we've encountered. And when we looked at, like, where does that come from? Because what a sad thing to believe. And it was really because people have said over the years, you'd be so pretty if you lost weight. Like, people would say that to her, which was really insensitive and cruel. But when we could, like, we have to resolve that. So part of what we do, and if you're looking at your mindset, is you have to acknowledge those things that hurt us. And maybe somebody was well-intended, thinking by saying that they were afraid for your health or something. And in this, but it hurts. It's impactful. So when we shifted that to, you're a beautiful person, it has nothing to do with your weight. You're a beautiful person. And when you start to really see the beauty in yourself and love who you are, then you're really going to start to see who's attracted to you. Because the one thing that was the big aha for her was, you could have met Mr. Right every day of your last 6 months, except you would have never noticed the conversation because you're stuck here reacting to the you'd be so pretty if conversation that hasn't happened in 15, 20, 30 years. And so realizing the role we play in this, our self-talk, our underlining driver to how we're operating our lives, that's really, really important. Because we're doing a self-fulfilling prophecy to that, and we're always trying to resolve it, but yet we're resisting resolving it at the same time. And that's a little more complicated, but it's happening. So we have to look at that. And then the other piece I'd say is, when that dynamic's happening, we're not coming from a place of what's best for us. So if I were to say really important for someone to say, what am I going to do that's healthy for my, let's say, even business? Are you trying to get away from something like, I hate the job, I'm quitting the job, so I want to start a business, versus I love working with people and helping them design brochures, that's why I'm starting a business? If you're doing something because you're trying to get away from something, you're only going to recreate the pattern. That will never really, truly bring you to happiness. If you operate from what's creative to you, what makes you excited and happy, and you're enjoying that process, and that's why you want to do it as your main reason, then you really create magic in your life. And that's, then your mindset starts to shift, and then you naturally will see results from it. And so the cool thing with that lady, how it turned out, is we started changing some of her self-talk. We changed her perspective as to why she wanted to lose weight, because it was a good idea to not be pre-diabetic and have high blood pressure and not be able to walk up a flight of stairs. Those are good. And when that's your motivation, and to feel out of a sense of self-love and appreciation to, you know, to create this relationship with yourself, the cool thing is, she's glowing throughout the whole process and looking more and more beautiful, even though she always looked beautiful. Mm-hmm. And she met an awesome person and during that process, not even like a year later, like just a couple months later.
Yeah. So you change your self-talk, you do something that's more in alignment of why you ultimately want to make that change. You need to have the grit to stick through it. I'm sure overnight life doesn't get better. But if you change your mindset in that regard, you actually start attracting the life that you wanted, rather than, oh, I need this, I need this, I need this. You become the person that naturally attracts it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Am I on it?
That's absolutely right. You become a person who's attracting it, but you are also taking natural steps. This is the evolution of your behavior ultimately leads you there anyway, right? And it doesn't have to be this big race. It's like, it took me a year to lose 30 pounds, right? And during that year, when I was developing Mind Over Platter and I was doing this on myself as my own project, I always say I'm my best client.
Yes.
I used to say to myself, I'd get on the scale and it would only be down, let's say, 5 pounds. And I'd say, gee, Ro, you know, first of all, if you're stuck in this body for the rest of your life, this is not a bad situation, right? You may as well love and accept yourself. I knew better.
Right.
You can't hate yourself. This isn't working. And I'd say, you know, Ro, if you kept this up a year from now, if you lost 5 pounds in 2 months, a year from now, holy moly, how much weight would you have lost? Like, you know, you have to be at it for the long haul because you're worth it.
You're worth it. It's worth it. We have this body. We might as well do the best we can with it. Let's talk about some of those steps. And I'm coming from beginner's mindset 101. I know personally, one thing I started, had to have been almost 7 years ago, is I do the same affirmations every morning, and I've changed them, but I've basically had the same affirmations 365 days a year for 7 years. And it wasn't until literally years down the road that I'm saying these affirmations to myself and I'm realizing that they're actually officially true. And at one point it was almost like a pipe dream, and it was the man I envisioned myself being. And then I look at myself in the mirror, I'm like, I need more affirmations, because all of these came true over time. So affirmations have worked really well for me. Everything from today's going to be a beautiful day to you're good enough now and only getting better, your open channel for creative ideas, things like that. That's what's worked for me, and that's just one bite. I'm wondering what steps or what beginner actions we can start taking as quickly as possible. Ideally today, right? Ideally someone, even if you pause this podcast, guys, and go do it, that's better than not doing anything at all. But I do recommend you listen to the whole show. But okay, so for when people are done listening, what action should they take? What are some of the stepping stones you would recommend?
Okay, good, good. And I do believe, by the way, in the power of our affirmations. And the problem is people give up too soon. And, you know, that's a whole other thing about...
Do you want to go on a tangent on that? It's up to you.
Yeah, the thing, like with The Secret, is it makes you think that if you say it three times, the bike shows up at the front door, exactly what you're thinking of shows up in your life, and you didn't really have to go out and make it happen. You do have to make it happen. And I have affirmations too that I've said for years, and then they're in my life. Like, wow, how cool is that? But it's something like me hitting bestseller. That's been on my affirmation list for 15 years. I've been saying that for 15 years.
Wow.
And so, that's one thing. I don't think we should be so quick to give up on things. I think if it's part of our true desire, we keep it. So if we look at step by step, I'm going to start with what is it we really want? So someone has to look at the reality check with themselves and be honest with themselves. What do I really want? So if they say, I want to have, you know, this type of business, you know, I want to have this type of relationship or this type of job. Great. Now I'm going to invite them to, because the reason they'll sabotage themselves is if it's not really their true heart desire, right? It's maybe what society tells me I should want. Or I define myself as successful by America's standards, and that means, you know, you have to be this size or this type of person, this type of potential earner.
Right.
So that's always going to cause a lot of self-sabotage. So looking at, or you'll reach it and you won't be fulfilled. You know, so it's just gonna be like filling a cup that has a hole in the bottom. So that is it really your desire? And the way you find out if something's really your desire is you look at your true values. What do you value in life? And spending some time really looking at our values. And our values change throughout our lives. So when I was, you know, 21, my values had a lot to do with how much money I made, what kind of car I drove, how I looked, you know, how pretty did I look, kind of thing, you know, kind of clothes that I wore. So it's a lot of superficial stuff. And that's okay. You know, that was fine. But then now look at 40 or, you know, at 30, 40, 50, I'm approaching 60. It's not about the kind of car I drive. I want a safe car. I want all-wheel drive because I have to get through our winters here in Rochester.
Correct.
Right around my grandkids. I'm still very vain, so I guess I can't deny that. but I don't care about like where I buy my clothes. If I could wear the same clothes every day, I probably would. I'd be happy in my gym clothes every day. I really care about authentic relationships and making a difference in people's lives. And so your values change.
Yes.
So you have to know what your values are. And so you know where you want to go. You know where what your values are. And then you say, do they align? Does this match? Or is this me trying to prove myself to the person that was mean to me 20 years ago or to whatever else? And we have to identify that baggage that we're carrying around, because that's what's getting in the way. That unresolved baggage that we are saying we're subconsciously reacting to and always trying to prove. And we all do it. You know, there's people that don't feel worthy, people that don't feel like they're good enough, people that don't feel like they belong. Everyone has something. And when you can identify it, then you know what you're dealing with. And you can say, oh, there you are. This is why I want to take another class, because I always feel like I'm not good enough or I'm not capable. So we then learn that about ourselves, almost our darker side, but we can start to, bring that on board with us, because then we align all these little conflicting parts of ourselves. And when you can align them together on the same team, we really now have a powerful place where we can make things happen. And then I would say, once you know where you're going, you know what's getting in the way, you're clear on your values and why you want this, now we need to create an action plan that naturally takes us in that direction. And those are, where we go back to, like, the book that comes to my brain, as I said, it was Atomic Habits. You need simple habits that you can integrate instead of the old stuff. So either it's get rid of the chips and replace it with carrot chips, or, so packing your gym bag and throwing it in the car so that you don't, you automatically stop at the gym instead of going straight home and laying on the couch and eating, self-comfort food or something. We have to replace the old habits with the new habits to get naturally help us get there. And I do believe in the power of affirmations. And I'm going to say the thing I'm calling them lately, Ben, is choices, making daily choices. And so what was once what I would call an affirmation, I now call my daily choices. And I have some here. So yes. Like, for example, I have my own. Like, I choose every morning, I make my choices. And so I read, I don't even need to read them, but I have one, by the way. See, I have an affirmation. I'll share it with you.
Yes, please.
I'm 2 years away from turning 60. I've always valued health, fitness, and all that. And life, your body changes when you're when you're getting over that 55 age group. So my affirmation is 60 looks sexy on Rosa.
Yes.
And I just say it to my, now, it's my own little way of getting me excited about, hey, that would be fun. What does that look like? Now, I'm looking in the mirror and I don't say, holy smokes, you look hotter than ever, Rosa, fitter than ever. But I think you really should, it's a good idea to start doing more weight training, because toning up muscle mass is important. And, your brain starts solving it for you. So you get, create these choices, affirmations, but it stayed as I am, like you've said, I am this, I choose this, and then get curious, how does it feel like to have it? Get there mentally, emotionally, and then ask yourself, what's a small step I could take to one step closer? And when you get curious and you ask yourself that, then I'm going to, the next thing is take some of those darn steps. Even if it means you have to get a coach or you have to get into a peer group or something where you have the support and surround yourself with the support so that that's normal for the people that you're engaging with. And I think you do these things, my goodness, you're going to change your life in a heartbeat.
You will change your life. And this is definitely a rewind, re-listen segment here, guys, because so much gold. Have an accountability group, but have yourself accountable. Take these tiny habits. I love the, Rosa doesn't, or you don't have to compare yourself to the 22-year-old Instagram model and their boyfriend or their husband and their life. Your age is beautiful on you. And you've never felt better, and that's all that matters. And what's beautiful about that is that's attractive, right? That's sexy in itself. You have an energy that's attractive and fun and young and excited and fit just by having that mindset, right? It's almost not exactly what you look outside. It's how you feel inside permeates how you look outside, right? It's a layer deeper than we think, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So,
can I share another one, a story?
Please.
In career management, I see people every day that tell me their age is the reason they can't get a job that they want. And I have always believed age is a state of mind. And And I'll say to them, you know, if you believe that's true, you're only going to notice evidence to support what you believe. So that's, we have to start by changing their belief. Now, one thing I have found after listening to seriously tens of thousands, I've worked with tens of thousands of people in that arena and hearing it for all these years, I decided to semi-retire last year. And at 57, I semi-retired and I missed, I don't know what I was thinking because I love working and I went back to work. But do you know how many millennials want to work with me? I'm like, what? People were reaching out to me. Oh, wow, do you want to come work with us? Or because it is a state of mind and people really love that. I've already raised my kids. I've had a marriage, a divorce, and a really nice, wonderful marriage going on 25 years. And people are like, wow, you've done what I want to do. Like, I want to learn from you. And so there are, like, there's a place for everyone in the world of work, in the world of business, in the world of everything. But we have to tell our brain that's where we're going. And then we'll start to see the opportunities. So my experience was totally opposite of all the people that have said to me over the years, where am I going? No one's going to hire me. I'm 48. And I'm like, holy moly, I'm 10 years older than you. And I can't imagine like what would have happened if I thought that was true. So,
talk a little bit more about that, because I saw you had a LinkedIn blurb about overqualified and underqualified. So the listeners are going to be a little bit of both. Some people are going to great resignation, career change, furloughed, and they feel like they're overqualified for a role. And then other people feel that imposter syndrome that they're underqualified. They're just now learning. This is one of their first podcasts to learn about this stuff. Who am I to be, fighting with the big guys? Talk a little bit about that feeling, that maybe imposter syndrome or the overqualified, underqualified. How should we look at that? Maybe on both ends of it,
Yeah, good question. So I'm going to say imposter syndrome seems to be across the board. So even the overqualified people have imposter syndrome. So I think you mentioned it earlier too. We compare ourselves far too much and social media is making it worse. So I'm looking at someone's posts and you're like, oh, look at how amazing their life is, because we only see the highlights and the airbrushed version of everything. And the, everything has been changed. So it's not real. Anyway, we don't see actually the whole story. So imposter syndrome across the board. I'm going to start with overqualified because, we're in Rochester. Since I started doing this career management, which is 20 years now, we had Kodak that had 60,000 people at one company. We've had 100,000 people employed by three companies. And now they're lucky if they each employ 2,000 people. And so it's changed a lot over the years. And so the first thing I want to say with when you're overqualified is, first of all, you have to be realistic. If you're looking at a job, a career path or a job, what you're applying for is very clear in the job description. So if they're saying they want 2 years versus nobody advertises for 20 years experience, right? They're advertising for 2 to 5 years, maybe 10 years, senior level something. Yes. So you have to be realistic. So if I applied for a job that said I wanted 2 years experience, I'm clearly overqualified. And you have to be okay with that. You have to be okay with what that means, because if you're being realistic and you're applying for that job, then it means you have a lot of value you can bring, but they don't have a budget for someone with your level of experience. And that's the question I would ask you. Are you okay with that? Why do you want this job? And again, we go back to our values. If it's, I want to make a contribution. I love this type of work. I don't need to make the most amount of money in my life right now. I'm in a comfortable situation where I want to make a fair wage and I also want to do what I love and I don't want to work more than the 8 hours a day. There's that. There's a lot of value people bring to is overqualified, but they have to be coachable and trainable and up to date with technology. And when they have that and they're showing that they're a resource, they can be real change makers in the workplace. So You know, I would encourage people to know why, though, they want to make the changes they make if they are overqualified, because the employer is going to want to know why. Why would you really be happy here? Now, underqualified.
I feel like we've touched on underqualified a little bit. Part of it's inside just the belief system, right?
And knowing your character. Mm. Because, see, people, one thing I've learned from employers is they want retention. They want a good return on their investment, someone who's going to be there and show up and want to be there. And if you have the aptitude to do the job, the attitude that you want to be there, that goes a long way. And so you have to know on all sides the unique value you bring to a company or to anything. What's the unique value you bring? And there is a unique value you bring. And it's no different than business. What is your superpower? What are you amazing at that doesn't feel like work to you? Like this conversation between us doesn't feel like work for us, right? It's like fun because we have that gift of, you know, speaking in front of a group or helping people make a change through our words or whatever that might be called. That's part of a superpower we might have, and it translates from business or to the office or anywhere. And then who do you do it with? Who do you serve? You know, and when you know those two pieces, it's powerful, and then you own it. You don't, the earlier, let's say someone who's maybe going into something new hasn't done it before, they don't always own it like they could. No, they need to own it and say, I know me. Here's what I'm great at. Here's where I'm going to help you the most. You know, I'm not afraid to learn something new.
Own it like you could and you should. What is your superpower? I'm going to write down my superpowers after this podcast. Have you done an exercise like that? Do you know what are your superpowers, Coach Rosa?
Oh, wow. This was hard, by the way. So here's why I even talk about this. I chose to semi-retire in 2020. I went through an entire coaching program with someone I adore. His name is Joey Ragona. He's amazing. And he brought this up, like, in for your business, in your coaching practice, what is your superpower? Who's your dream client? And I was like, wait a minute. I don't know my superpowers. So I had to like ask people, what is my superpower? What do you think? And I had to fill out this whole sheet and I did all these exercises. And here's what I found out. Teaching, which is what I did at my job. The biggest one I received as a superpower was that my enthusiasm is contagious. That my ability to share something with people makes them want to take some action. So I thought that was a fun one. And one of my favorite ones that one of my mentors told me was, he said that I'm sweet and kind, but assertive as heck. And that was like a really cool combination. And I do have that ability to be really, you know, direct and forceful if I need to, but really nice about it. And I didn't realize those were like superpowers. So I love learning. I love teaching. And I can break things down into simple steps. So, and I have ADHD, which I've learned is one of my superpowers. Because I can't take immense amount of details. I break things down into steps. I follow the steps. I get the results, even though I'm distracted 90% of the time. So those are some of them.
I love them. And everyone at home, write down what's my superpower, make a list. I've been reframing my mindset that life isn't happening to me, it's happening for me. And I love how you mention, oh, I have ADHD. That often is followed by a complaint or a struggle or an excuse, or you're like, I have an ADHD, and that's one of my superpowers. That's a positive thing because it allows me to do this, this, and this. I love that. So then again, everybody at home, write down what's my superpower. Start making your list. Before we go into the rapid fire round, talk about Coffee with Coach Rosa. Tell me a little bit more about that segment you have.
Yeah, sure. So I started going live on Facebook a few years ago, and I just did it to practice, getting on video, and I read that's a great way to get your message out. And it was as I was revising Mind Over Platter, so I thought, well, I'll just talk about the things I know. And then I decided to grab a cup of coffee and call it Coffee with Coach Rosa. And during the pandemic, Brendan Burchard, which I'm in his one of his coaching groups, said early, like March of 2020, he said, this is not pleasant where we're going into. You need to use your gifts to help people cope. You need to help them get through this. And you said, you know, all of us need to do that. So if you're not going live, do it. And I had been practicing going live anyway, and I had so much fun with it. So I said, I'm going to do Coffee with Coach Rosa every morning. I did it almost every morning throughout the bulk of COVID. Wow. And I recently stopped, only went to like maybe once a week now. And it sticks. I mean, people were seeing me and saying, hey, Coach Rosa, I really look forward to coffee with you. And I take my break with you and watch you on the replay and grab my cup of coffee. And I thought of all the things I've done in my whole life, which is many. I've written, I don't even know, 700 blog entries, probably, you know, wow. 300 articles. I've done all these things, taught thousands of classes. And Coffee with Coach Rosa is a thing that people really get a kick out of. So I decided, you know what, if I do a podcast, I think I'm going to call it Coffee with Coach Rosa. If I do my YouTube thing, I think I'm going to stick with it because it's fun. And I just pick something that is, I think, helpful. Today I went for a walk and I did a walk and talk with Coach Rosa, and I went live on Facebook and I talked about one thing that I found useful when you're communicating that makes communication a lot easier. So I've been kind of going with it intuitively. It hasn't been highly well planned out, but when I get serious about it, it will. But I do love it. It's one of my favorite things I do.
Well, especially when COVID first hit and we're like, oh my God, what's happening? Being able to sit down and have like some education and a coffee chat, even virtually, felt like home. And it's nice. I love the walk and talk concept. I used to get on Snapchat and different things and do like city walk talks where I'm just walking down the street and I just talk about things. And I stopped doing that because I feel like most of them are kind of embarrassing. But people still today are like, Ben, why don't you do the city walk talks? Because it's cute and it's fun. You're walking down the road and you're taking them with you and you're having a conversation. I know for me, sometimes I feel alone, and recording something like that, knowing that it could reach someone and maybe move a needle and help them and change something, shift a mindset switch, something in their mind, that's really valuable.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Even if I spend hours and hours doing it and I only reach a handful of people, I got to reach a handful of people.
True, very true. And you know what's funny is when I walk in the neighborhood. So I go outside and start walking, and the neighbors are like walking by and go, hey, good morning. And I just keep talking. I know I look silly. You have to be willing to look silly. Yeah, one thing I've learned this year, and I learned this, I think, from Brendan Burchard also. Maybe it was a couple years ago, but what I'm learning more this year, though, in order to be really good at something, you have to be willing to suck at something. And so I have been willing to just flounder through things, knowing that I'm not as good as I would hope to be at it, in the attempt to get to the place where you're great at it. And you can't get to being great at something unless you're willing to, pardon my French, but you're really going to suck at it. So
I love this. And guys, Erin Deal, it's a few episodes back, but check out the episode with Erin Deal. She calls herself a fail-fluencer. Fail-fluencer. And she's like, the only reason I have any kind of influence is because I fail so much that I've gotten good at no longer failing. And then even when I try something new, I still fail. And it's like embracing the suck, embracing the failure in order to get to that next level, right?
That's so good. And John Maxwell wrote Failing Forward, which is a fantastic book. Fantastic book.
Yes, Failing Forward. So rapid fire round. These are short, sweet, fill in the blank, whatever questions. And I like to start with coffee or tea.
Coffee.
Since you are, you know, coffee with Coach Rosa, flavored, do you have coffee. Do you have a favorite flavor?
Oh, yeah. I would say if I really could have any flavor, creme brulee is my favorite flavored coffee. There used to be Godiva one, I think. I haven't had it in a long time, but I love anything but hazelnut or Irish cream. Those are two flavors I don't particularly like.
So creme brulee, favorite flavored coffee. Say that three times fast. I don't know if it's possible. do you have a favorite season of the year?
I love the fall.
Ooh, I've never asked this before. So you have your superpowers. Is there a superpower you don't have that you wish you did that you're working on?
What would be my superpower? Well, I am working on my intuition right now. I'm working with my intuition as that process. So I guess if I could develop that superpower, it would be this definition I heard. I heard a definition was from the Sufi monks, which was to live by your the definition of magic is to live by your intuition. And that's what I would love. I've added that to my affirmations, that I live a magical life. My life is magical because I live by my intuition.
The definition of magic is to live by my intuition.
My intuition, yeah.
Love it.
The Sufi monks that said that. I don't know.
We'll do one or two more. So favorite guilty, like, cheat meal. Obviously, you eat pretty healthy, but none of us are perfect. Any guilty pleasures?
Oh, yeah. Lots of guilty pleasures. Let's see. I guess if I was going to say a cheat meal that was really like a cheat, I say indulgences. I guess I don't usually see cheats, but I do. I guess if I were really, brutally honest, I'd probably have cheesecake for dinner. That might be one of my favorite little things I do once in a great while. But, out of all the things that are probably not good for me, and I love them as much as I know, even as I'm eating them, I'm like, this is so bad. Onion rings. I do love onion rings. I'll always regret it because they wreak havoc on my stomach, but they're greasy and yummy, and every once in a while I want them.
They taste good. They taste good. We'll do one more, again, more. Take this anywhere you want, but I actually don't know what I'm asking as I ask it. I'm just having these ideas. So if you could wave a magic wand, and every time someone opened their phone to check their phone, we do that way too much. Every time they open their phone, words would automatically appear. Mm-hmm. So whether it's an affirmation or a quote, every time I look at my phone, words would appear, and this would happen throughout the world. Mm. What words would you want to appear on people's phones so everyone could read them?
You are deeply loved, exactly as you are.
I love it. I'm just letting that sink in. You are deeply loved exactly as you are.
Yeah. And if I were to elaborate, you don't have to do a single thing. Just be loved exactly as you are.
Coach, how do people stay in touch, watch the coffee chats, connect with you, work with you, any of the above? Buy the book. What should I do next? I'll put it in the show notes, but I want to hear from you.
Sure. So my website's mindoverplatter.com. So there's a connect with me on there. You can contact me directly through that website. So I'll go right into my email. As far as LinkedIn, it's linkedin.com/in/CoachRosa. So you can connect with me on LinkedIn. I tend to go live on LinkedIn. On Facebook, I go live a lot. I have a group on Facebook called Coach Rosa, Healthy Mind, Healthy Body. My book is on Amazon, Mind Over Platter. And I do teach a lot of workshops through Rochester Works. So that's what I do for them. And I'm their training coordinator, and I teach a lot of workshops, and I bring on guest speakers. So the cool thing is it's free. People can go to rochesterworks.org. They can look at the workshop calendar, and chances are I'm doing one on the Enneagram in maybe May. I have a Reboot Your Mindset. I have a bunch of cool things I do. And you can attend for free. And right now they're hybrid or Zoom. So it's yes. one way to stay connected with me and not cost you a dime.
I've been sleeping at the wheel. I definitely will sign up for some of these courses at Rochester Works. I look forward to learning from you more. Anyone at home, I do recommend read the book. It's a bestseller. Get in touch with these videos. Get in touch with Rochester Works. And if you'd like, ask me and I'll provide an introduction as well. So low barrier of entry. I know that people can go and learn from you. And I appreciate you taking the time to teach me a few things, Coach Rosa. I really had a good time.
Thank you. This was fun. I enjoyed it. Time flew right by.
It did. Well, we're going to have to do it again. I'm going to put that on my checklist to have you on again.
I would love that.
Till next time, thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@balbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.